Back to the Todd Bravo Camp Show right here on KGYM.
It is 6:07 inside the third and final hour of the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. On Fridays, we like to refer to it as the big hour, and we tip our caps to Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the sponsor of the 6 o'clock hour on Fridays. We're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in, as a number of people are doing tonight. I have a feeling a lot of them are Linmar and Iowa City West High fans. That game will be kicking off in a little over about an hour and a half, just down the street at Iowa City West High. It's one of the two games we've got coming your way tonight. You can hear it on both of our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. 1,600 AM listeners tonight. You guys are going to get West Delaware as they take on Marion. Scott Unash will be on the call for that contest as well. Poll question available today at KGYMradio.com. We want to know what your ideal World Series matchup is. Now that we're down to four teams, two of them kick things off tonight. The Astros host the Yankees, and then tomorrow it's game one of the National League Championship Series as Chicago takes on the Dodgers in Chavez Ravine. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com alongside me for the third and final hour. And as we've done the last several weeks throughout football season, even though the Hawkeyes aren't playing this weekend, we'll still keep it Hawkeye-centric here, and we bring on a former Hawkeye, and it's one I think a lot of fans had a vested interest in over the last couple years, and that's former defensive lineman Drew Ott. Drew, how you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Good. I guess the first question is, a lot of fans probably want to know what you're up to these days.
Oh, right now I'm back farming with my dad and still training for football, so getting my knee squared away, and hopefully things work out in that aspect, but just been working with the farm.
And beyond that, you're married now, so how's that going for you? Todd and I are both married, so I'm sure you have a honey-do list for the weekend?
I don't think we got anything too pertinent, but you might find something to do.
I'm just messing with you. You know, what's interesting for me, Drew, is we all kind of went through this with you. Obviously, it wasn't as excruciating or impacted our lives as much as it did for you. But the appeal process for you and how long that went on, have you put that in your past? And that two-part question, have you been able to put that in your past? And also, how do you feel like that's impacted your ability to play in the NFL? Because essentially, it kind of took you off the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to put that in the past. I mean, my year would have been by already, so there's nothing I can do to change that. I mean, the ruling was done, but I think it would have been good for another year to stay in college, you know, just stay with the program. But, I mean, I think it'll all pan out in the end here. Hopefully I can get a shot here and show them what I got.
What's that process like for you now? Do you just, you know, your agent kind of puts feelers out for you? How do you, I mean, get tryouts and do things like that when you're, you know, a year or two removed from college and you're trying to get into the league?
Yeah, it'll be like a trial with the team. So he'll see who's out and see if anyone's interested, and then hopefully I can show him what I can do.
Do you have a timeline in your mind where if things don't work out by this point in your life, you're going to move on, or is this just something that you're going to keep trying until you just can't anymore?
I'll probably say, probably at the end of this year, you know, I'll probably get it in the next fall, but I mean, as of right now, I mean, kind of all my focus is towards that and getting healthy and getting back to where I was. So.
How do you keep yourself sharp and in football shape and, you know, trying to work on your craft as well?
I got a buddy back here that plays some division football. So I'm going to move him throwing the helmets and shoulder pads every once in a while, and I'll just tune things up. And that's kind of just getting recently. I mean, I've been battling injuries really for the last 22 months. So, I mean, really the last 4 months, a little healthy 4 months. So it's been fun.
Have you been able to keep up on the Hawkeyes the last couple years?
Yeah, I've been watching them. You know, I still got a bunch of friends on the team, so I try to watch them, you know, any chance I got.
When you were, you know, an older player, Parker Hesse was kind of just getting started, and and moving his way from linebacker to defensive line. He's really become just a really solid, dependable player. Did you kind of see that? And how did he do that? How did he come over from a linebacker position and able to make himself into a productive defensive end?
I mean, I think what helped him, I mean, he's obviously talented, but I mean, he's just a really smart kid. Smart and does the right things, and he's always going to be in the right position, and so that's always going to give him an advantage on the other team, and his technique's always going to be sound. So, I mean, I think those little characteristics, you know, is what makes him a good player.
You also played as a true freshman, and were thrown to the wolves, so to speak. They're A.J. Epinesa, who came in with a little bit more fanfare than you did out of eight-man football in Nebraska. What was that like for you? What's it like, you know, going from high school to playing, you know, especially on the line at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a lot more ready for it than I was. I mean, he looks like he's up to size. He's already a man, so, I mean, he looks like he's doing pretty good, but, I mean, it was quite a jump, you know. I mean, I think I only weighed like 260 pounds, maybe, and then just never really playing D-line before in my life. I kind of came in as an athlete, so, I mean, it was a lot to adjust to and things like that, but, you know, it helped me rely on my technique, you know, because I wasn't the strongest player before.
When you watch a game, do you focus on the defensive line because that's where you played, or do you watch the game overall?
I usually just watch the defensive line and defense. Must be interested in the offense of what's been played 10 million snaps in practice, so I don't know what they're going to do.
What are your thoughts of another Nebraska guy Iowa's got on the defensive line, Nate Budgeta?
He's awesome. I mean, he's one of my best friends, so... I mean, I really like him. He's really sound technically and everything like that. And good leader, does things right, plugs up the middle. So.
Iowa's kind of gotten in a rhythm here a little bit against Nebraska. That's got to be good for you when you're back in Nebraska, knowing that Iowa has beaten beaten your home home state team. Do you rub that in?
Not really. I mean, I kind of expect it, so just kind of set them up for the year, so it's nice.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Hawkeyes so far this year through their 2-1 or 1-2 Big Ten start, I should say?
I mean, I think for growing in this bye week, you know, that's always helped us. And we're trying to get them round up. They're all good on the same track, and let's get things rolling.
Drew, what are your thoughts on Josie Jewell? His career is just kind of built every year. And you saw him as a young guy. I'm sure you mentored him a little bit when he got here. Just kind of what are your thoughts on how his career has gone?
Yeah, I mean, me and Joe are pretty good friends, but I mean, I'm not surprised by his career. You know, he comes in with a hard-working attitude and good demeanor, and I mean, he comes to work every day, so, I mean, he's building on that. So, I mean, not no surprise that his career keeps building with time.
You got a recognition for eating the raw eggs in Chicago. Take us through that again, how that happened, and kind of did you think that you'd get that much attention for doing something like that?
Not really. I mean, this is kind of weird. Some guys just came up and told me. I guess like 2 weeks earlier, they asked me if I did anything weird, so I told them that. And they caught me on the show that I did.
And how about the Solon the Solon Days hay bale toss there? Is that something you still look back fondly upon, stuff like that, the small town Iowa stuff, small town Nebraska?
I mean, I kind of grew up in small town stuff like that, so I mean, I really enjoyed Solon Days and stuff like that, so hopefully I can make it back to that someday.
Speaking of Nebraska, are you as surprised as everybody else to see the Huskers struggling the way that they are right now?
I mean, I guess I haven't really been watching them at all, but I mean, I guess it could be surprising. I don't know.
We got to meet with Phil Parker because it's the bye week on Wednesday, and just he gave us some thoughts on how he looks at the defense and different numbers he looks at and things like that. What type of a coach is that? Is he to play for? I know sometimes when we get a chance to come to practice and stuff, I know he has a very colorful vocabulary and can get after guys. But was he a good coach to play for? And what did you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, he was a good coach to play for, and always got to know very good. I mean, if he was slacking, he was going to let you know. So, I mean, if he was going to give yourself a day off, he wasn't going to let you give yourself a day off. So, I mean, he was a good guy to help coach you.
And similarly, Reese Morgan, I know, is kind of – he's the guy that recruited you, the guy that coached your position. You know, he's kind of a guy that runs, you know, flies under the radar a lot in Iowa staff. But talk about how important he's been to you.
I mean, he gave me my chance. I mean, he basically just embodies, you know, the Iowa program. I mean, he's the type of guy that goes up there, does everything, like, keeps doing it right day in and day out. I mean, that's kind of what Iowa does, they keep doing. That's kind of what he's done the past 30 years of his life, so, if not more. So, I mean, he's a great guy and a great role model to look up to, anyway.
Hey, Drew, before we let you go, I've got to ask you, what are your thoughts on watching Brandon Snyder come back from an ACL injury in less than 6 months and making the impact on the field the way that he did for the Hawkeyes last week against Illinois?
I mean, that was awesome. I mean, I'm so happy for him. I mean, seems like things went really well for him, and the guy's making a huge impact on him. I'm super pumped for him. Hopefully nothing else happens to him, and it keeps going, you know. I think he will.
All right, former Hawkeye defensive lineman Drew Ott, still chasing the NFL dream. We wish you the best. Good luck, Drew.
Yep.
Catching up with Drew Ott. Next week, it's going to be former Iowa punter Ron Caluzzi, who's, I don't know, I wouldn't say drawn the ire of Kirk Ferentz, but I think he's certainly still on Kirk Ferentz's radar after commenting on the punting situation.
Ron has never been at a loss for words.
No, and that's why I was excited when I thought he was going to be with us today, and then we had to make a switch there at the last minute. But you don't normally see punters and kickers that interesting, but he breaks the mold. So we'll talk with Ron Caluzzi coming up on the program next week. It is hard to believe, though, when you look back on Brandon Snyder, and I know we talked a little bit about it last week, not necessarily in depth, but I don't think either one of us anticipated seeing him do what he did last week against Illinois, especially with the interception return for the touchdown, but just the ability that he had to make plays 6 months after suffering an ACL injury, virtually unheard of.
I thought he, we talked about this in the press box, I thought he changed the momentum of that game. Illinois was driving, down 4 points, 6 minutes left to go in the third quarter, and that interception, I think, changed the complexion of that game. It kind of woke everybody up on the Iowa sideline. It got everybody in. And it was interesting when you just asked Drew that question. Drew's, what, 2 years removed from the program, so he was around Brandon for maybe a year, you know, a little bit over that with training and things like that. So, and you could tell in his voice that he was happy for him and glad to see him come back. And I think as much as he impacted things on the field, I just think that emotional lift, that leadership lift, was just as important.
Well, as we mentioned, the Hawkeyes do not have a game tomorrow, but they will gear up for the back half of the Big Ten season. And Rob and I have plenty more to get into. We'll discuss what Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker had to say this week and take a look around the Big Ten, because there are plenty of games on the schedule this week, 6 of them to be exact, all Big Ten games. I think that's the first time this week, this year, that we've had that, where nobody is playing a non-conference game. Iowa and Penn State both idle this week, though. 6:21, most emphasizing. You know what? If we've got time, we may talk about North Carolina and the NCAA today as well, because Alex and I didn't get a chance to go in-depth on that, but I don't know how much more the NCAA can take in the loss column before it just completely disintegrates, but they kind of got humiliated today by the University of North Carolina. So a lot more to get to here over the final 40 minutes of the program. It is the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. We're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in, say hi, and maybe get your weekend started right. No Hawkeye football, no problem, right? Todd Brommelkamp, Rob Howe, back with more after this.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
If your vehicle is riding rough, it may be time for new shocks or struts. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy a combination of two or four select Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts and get up to an $80 Visa gift card by mail. Improve your ride with Monroe or Rancho shocks and struts at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG engine-powered boom lifts that will make those hard-to-reach jobs a breeze. These units are equipped with sky power so you can run equipment in the air. And for the greatest horizontal reach, a telescopic boom lift will put you right where you need to be. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
I love going to football games. I'm Randy Moss, but I hate tracking down tickets.
That's why your man Charles Woodson has got you covered.
Nobody can cover me, Charles.
I meant I can get us tickets easily with Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, all guaranteed.
Guaranteed, like Randy Moss finding the end zone.
If the end zone is where you want to sit, those are the tickets we'll get. Now, how do you want to pay me?
Charles, you already know. Straight cash, homie. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we've been putting tires on cars since 1926. And we know when the road gets rough, you need a set of tires that can get tough. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid October 12th through November 12th. Claim form required. Prepaid card is issued with the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Bancorp Bank member FDIC expiration applies.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
6:25. Welcome back in. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym. All three frequencies right now coming to you from the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're here until 7 o'clock at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. And then it's off to high school football tonight. 1600 AM listeners, West Delaware will be at Marion. And our FM frequencies, a little bit of a crossover between Cedar Rapids and 107.5 and Iowa City and 106.3. Iowa City West plays host to the Linmar Lions tonight. Alex Kuhn will call the action there. We will have games 1 and 2 of the National League Championship Series tomorrow and Sunday from Chavez Ravine and Dodger Stadium here on KGYM, but the frequencies will change, so stay tuned to KGYMradio.com, our website, for updates on where you can hear the Cubs and the Dodgers. And while you're there, vote in today's poll question. What's your preferred World Series matchup? We give you all four choices before the ALCS and NLCS series get underway. 6:26, we'll kick it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The University of Iowa's Gold Squad won Game 2 yesterday at the Black and Gold World Series at Duane Banks Field 7-6 to force a Game 3. That's being played today. Senior Tyler Cropley provided a sack fly in the 10th inning for a walk-off win after trailing 6-1 early in the game. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders will have their home opener tomorrow night against the Omaha Lancers. The Lancers are 0-1 on the young season. The Rough Riders 1-1. And you can catch that game yourself if you want at 7:05 tomorrow at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, it's Friday, and that means high school football. Scott Unash is out at Marion on the call as the Indians host West Delaware. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And our second game is a big one in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn will be on the call as Iowa City West hosts Linmar. A win for the Trojans tonight would lock up the District 8 title, and you can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. When those games wrap up, keep it here on KGYM, and Jeff Downing will get you caught up on all the action from around the state on the High School Scoreboard Show. Iowa's on a bye week, so there's no Before the Boom tomorrow, but we will have the Cyclone pregame show on the main gym beginning at 9 o'clock. And for anybody wondering, we will carry both Cubs-Dodgers games this weekend, Saturday on all three frequencies and Sunday on 1600 AM, and we'll also have the Yankees and Astros tomorrow on the North and South gyms.
Thank you very much, Kyle. 628. Let's touch on this a little bit, because Rob, you and I were talking about it before we took our last break, and that's the fact that today, after a very long investigation, the NCAA revealed that it found a lot of things at North Carolina, but nothing that necessarily can stick to the Tar Heels. And basically, they can't do anything about it. And North Carolina has admitted that the allegations that there were, I guess, what would you call these classes? They're
ridiculous?
Not, well, I always go back to Andy Katzenmoyer at Ohio State, the underwater basket weaving and all the rumors about that stuff. But basically, North Carolina spent $20 million to defend itself in this case. And they wound up getting their money's worth because the NCAA said, here's what we found, but because regular students had access to the classes, there was nothing improper about this. So I guess if you want to cut corners, just make sure that one or two regular students also have access to the opportunity, and you're golden. That's sort of the message that came out of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassment, really. I mean, if you look at just some of the highlights of what Stuart Mandel tweeted.
This is gold, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, classes did not meet. There wasn't a faculty member. The required submission of a paper, occasionally two short papers, were all that was involved in. So one, possibly three papers. They're often graded by a secretary who admitted she did not read every word, and occasionally she didn't even read every page. And then the papers consistently receive high grades. So basically, you know, my first grader could have done this.
If you put your name on the paper, you start with a C,
right.
And then the grade just goes up from there. It just, a lot of people are going to look at this as one more big blow against the NCAA and whatever credibility that organization has left. They've been fighting on a number of fronts for a number of years. People want to see players start to get a little bit of the money that the NCAA takes in. They've, for years, ridiculously tried to drive home the point of these are student athletes, and this basically all but erodes that high ground that they try to stand on, the student athlete. These guys are athletes.
I mean, it's bad just from a collegiate standpoint for the higher education to do something like this. If there were regular students taking classes like this at a university like North Carolina, but when you look at it, Todd, it all goes back. It's always the money trail. You know, they spent $20 million to defend it. It's because the basketball program is a cash cow. It's one of the blue bloods in the country. Nobody in the NCAA or in college sports wants to see North Carolina go on probation because then everybody loses money. So, you know, TV, whatever, you know, all these places where you're getting, you know, revenue from, they're all invested in this. And if North Carolina can get by, just like when Penn State was let off, you know, out of their sanctions, Penn State's back again. That makes everybody money. Everybody's happy. So I just think it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for college athletics. It's embarrassing for higher education. But I bet you in another week it'll be out of the news cycle and it'll be gone.
Yeah, we're already not talking about Louisville right. and Patino and the assistant coaches, and that was the biggest scandal we'd ever seen. And here we are. What? Oh, that thing is still going on? So, yeah.
And the meme were with Rick Pitino on the phone calling Adidas saying, hey, can we pay regular students? That's kind of, it's sad but true.
I would have loved those classes when I was at the University of Iowa because my papers got way more attention than the sound of the secretary just basically glancing over paper. Did you use spell check? Okay. Passing grade.
She admitted to not reading every word, and occasionally she didn't read every page.
Yeah. And you know what? If it was a two-page paper, that's a problem.
And there's only one paper that's required, possibly two or three. How much work could that be?
It's good work if you can get it. If the Sopranos were still on HBO, I feel like maybe this would be an AJ storyline. 6:32. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, no Hawkeye football to talk about this weekend, but there are a number of games to get to. We'll get Rob's thoughts on Iowa State's upset over Oklahoma last weekend in Norman and take a look around the Big Ten. Six games on tap tomorrow. Only the Hawkeyes and Penn State are inactive, so the Saquon Barkley Heisman Trophy talk will take a backseat for at least 1 week. Before his campaign continues. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Rob Howe tonight during the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Back with more from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City after this.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was Baby Back, Baby Back, Baby Back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger, too.
48% actually. But that's, like, impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baby, Chili's is back.
Baby Back, Baby Back.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
6:35, welcome back in. It is the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire, lindertire.com, reminding you that winter is, to use a term that apparently was a little controversial yesterday, right around the corner. It might be time to check the treads on those tires, and if you need an upgrade or any other car work done, even oil changes, lindertire.com, or stop on in North Liberty, Iowa City, or if you're not necessarily in the area, Grinnell in the central part of the state as well. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn, who is at Iowa City West High getting ready for the Trojans and the Lions tonight. You'll hear that game on our FM frequencies coming up shortly after 7 o'clock tonight. Before we dive in to the Big Ten games this weekend, I want to get your thoughts on your reaction to Iowa State beating Oklahoma in Norman last weekend. The first time since 1990 that Iowa State had picked up a win in that series. And we were both in Ames earlier this year for that Iowa State game. And I think you and I both came away, granted it was only the second week of the season, but we both came away with the same impression that that Iowa State team was much improved over the one that we saw here in Iowa City last year.
Without a doubt. And we sat here last week and we're talking about Jacob Park being out and the line moving up to whatever it was, 31 points, Oklahoma being favored by. And you know, thinking that they had no chance last week. That was one of those games where you look at it and it's like not quite Oklahoma versus Kansas, but you're thinking the same thing. You take Oklahoma, but can you lay that many points? So kudos to them. They've, you know, Matt Campbell's done a good job in recruiting. He has those guys believing in themselves. I thought it would be a shootout last week. I thought Iowa State could score on Oklahoma. It'd be a typical Big 12 shootout. But I thought it would be like, you know, 52 to 31 or something like that. I was surprised. You got to give credit to Iowa State's defense. I think that's the area where they're getting better.
Joel Lanning is a big part of that. What a tremendous jump from playing quarterback to moving, not only moving positions and sides of the ball. He hadn't played linebacker since either junior high or early on in high school. But to do that in less than a year, from spring ball to here, and to make that impact. And then, oh, by the way, I'm gonna take some snaps at quarterback in the game as well. Really impressive. And you look around the state of Iowa, Iowa's got Josie Jewell. Iowa State's got Joel Lanning. And then you got Mark Farley's son at Northern Iowa, Jake Farley. It's pretty good linebackers here in the Hawkeye State.
Yep, Iowa does a pretty good job as a state of producing linemen and linebackers. And Lanning just, it's an incredible story what he's been able to do. If you think about the different skill sets it takes to switch positions like that, and as you said, do it so quickly. We almost saw something like that here with A.J. Derby when he switched from quarterback to linebacker and then decided to transfer out, and then he's become an NFL tight end. So it speaks to the athleticism of those guys.
Lots of games to get to in the Big Ten this week. Rutgers is at Illinois. The Illini are a 2.5-point favorite in that game. We saw Illinois here a week ago, and I don't know if Jeff George Jr. is the answer. I don't know if there is an answer in Champaign, but those are two rebuilding programs. Not a whole lot of interest there. Michigan goes on the road to take on Indiana on ABC at 11 o'clock tomorrow. That's about a touchdown game. The Hoosiers are one of four home underdogs in the Big Ten tomorrow. Northwestern, who's Iowa's opponent next weekend in Evanston, is on the road this weekend. They're in Maryland to take on the Terrapins. Purdue is at Wisconsin tomorrow as a 17-point underdog. Chuck Long said on the Big Ten Network the other day that if the season were ending today, Jeff Brohm would get his Coach of the Year honors. Is this an opportunity for Purdue to really make a statement tomorrow and go into Madison and maybe not necessarily win, but I look at 17 points, and I know that Wisconsin defense is good, but something tells me Purdue can maybe hang with the Badgers.
My one question is, can they hang with the Badgers physically? And we know it was... Did you watch the game, the Nebraska-Wisconsin game last week?
Yeah.
Nebraska gets the pick six, they tie the game, and then it was just like Wisconsin was like, all right, fine, we're just going to run it down
your throat. And then warmed down. And then I know Iowa fans are not going to want to hear this, but Wisconsin is doing Iowa better than Iowa has done the last couple years. It's the same playbook. We'll just run you into the ground. We're going to be more physical than you. We're going to be better conditioned than you. And this is a war of attrition, and at the end of the fourth quarter, they don't care what the score is, they're still going to be the one standing. I look at Wisconsin, and I see a lot of what Iowa wants to try to accomplish in its game plan. The Badgers just seem to be doing it at a little bit higher level right now, and I know that gets under the skin of Iowa fans, but...
I don't know how you can argue that point right now.
So that leaves us with, I think, the two more intriguing games, which... It's great how this works out because they're late kickoffs. 6:30 on FS1 tomorrow. You've got Ohio State in Lincoln to take on the Cornhuskers. They have not been a 24-point home underdog since 1957. But as you mentioned, Wisconsin last week had their way with Nebraska. Last year in Columbus, this game got ugly, and it got ugly early. Do you see a rematch, a reoccurrence of that, or is this maybe a game where Nebraska straps on the chin straps and holds its own?
I thought last week they may do that against Wisconsin, and as we just talked about, Wisconsin it was demoralizing what they did to them. They just ran right through them. Nebraska's defense just isn't that good. I mean, Rutgers hung with them for a while. Illinois didn't do much, but Friday night in Champaign, there's a lot of better things to do in Champaign on a Friday night. But, I mean, Ohio State athletes all over the field, speed. Maybe that's a better matchup for Nebraska, but I don't think so. I would lay those points. You never know on the road. I mean, we're looking at, you know, a game that's on now on ESPN, and Syracuse is leading Clemson by 7 almost after one quarter. So funny things can happen on the road. But I can't see where Nebraska is as a program right now that they can hang with the Buckeyes.
BTN tomorrow night, 7 o'clock kickoff in Minneapolis. The Gophers are a 4-point underdog to Michigan State. I think this is a hangover spot for the Spartans, coming off that big emotional win in Ann Arbor, and maybe Minnesota can right the boat, so to speak, here.
And the boat's taking on water.
The boat's taking on water, and
they did not look good at Purdue, and that's give Purdue credit, but Minnesota looked overwhelmed there.
One of the things that you always keep an eye on with Minnesota and new coaches is how quickly the Twin Cities media turns on you. And they've already sharpened the knives, and the columns are out with P.J. Fleck right now. And we're not even halfway through his first season. And I hate to blame the media for all the world's problems there, but one of the things that Minnesota program has battled for years is it tends to be an easy punching bag for it's a pro sports town, and that means the college is essentially a punching bag for a lot of the writers up there. And until P.J. Fleck can back up the talk, he makes for an easy target. And that was an ugly loss last week. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that line is screwy in my mind. When you look at what Michigan State has done the last 2 weeks, not that beating Iowa at home is any great shakes, but that was a tough home win. And you talked about Brohm being coach of the year. It may end up being Mark D'Antonio, depending on how the season ends up, because he's done a really nice job of cleaning up a big mess that was going on in East Lansing.
So that's the Big Ten slate tomorrow. As we mentioned, no Iowa. They'll be on the road taking on Northwestern next week, and then Penn State is also idle this week. It took about 24 hours for James Franklin to come out and shoot down any talk of Texas A&M and his interest in that job. He's committed to staying at Penn State. Let's talk coordinators, because we don't get to hear from them except for Media Day, the bye week, and then the bowl game. And so this is the second of three media opportunities traditionally during the season for Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker. Two guys who both admitted, for better or worse, on Wednesday that they know their side of the football needs a little bit of work. And it's a matter of how much they can get accomplished over the next few weeks as to how the season will finish up. But what did you take away from what Phil Parker had to say? I thought I saw him getting a lot of criticism from fans for hiding behind the numbers, if you will. He had a lot of statistics for this situation and that situation and where they're nationally and how close they were. It just seemed to me like it was a little bit of gobbledygook, but I'm not a numbers guy.
Yeah, I'm not really big on football analytics. I know a lot of people are. You know, the Pro Football Focus is a big, you know, website now, and a lot of people look at those numbers. And I think there's something to them, just like in baseball, if they're put in proper context. I really didn't have a problem with what he said the other day. I mean, he was talking about third down conversions and, you know, different numbers that are, you know, relevant. So I didn't really have the one thing that stood out to me, one of my criticisms of a defense that I think has been pretty good so far this year, is I haven't seen a consistent pass rush. And the other day he said he was happy with the pass rush and it was more on the secondary. So he's the coach. He's making a lot more money than I am. But to me, they need to get more pressure on the quarterback. But maybe I'm not seeing what he's seeing.
I think one of the understatements of the year was when he said Iowa's not really a big pressure team. Yeah, you know, but and the fans have always – it's the Madden philosophy where you can sit home and mash buttons and blitz, 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 and there are no consequences. There are in the real world, and he – he did a good job of underlining that once again, that when you take a risk, there sometimes are rewards and sometimes you wind up paying the price. And I certainly don't blame Iowa fans for being a little bit uneasy about the defense after watching Illinois rip off some pretty easy yardage last week.
200 yards on the ground, that's a lot.
And when you look at where the schedule goes from here, at what is essentially, we'll call it the All-Star break, to borrow from baseball, but there are no more easy games. Illinois was pretty much it. Now, 2 months ago, you may have looked at Purdue and said, oh, that's a game Iowa's going to win fairly easily, but the Boilermakers are playing pretty well. On the road at Northwestern, traditionally have not played very well there. Minnesota at home, not an easy game by any stretch of the imagination, but one the Hawkeyes are going to be favored in. Ohio State is Ohio State, and then at Wisconsin, Purdue, and at Nebraska, they've got to get things tightened up, so to speak. Now, from Phil Parker to Brian Ferentz, I think it's very clear, and we've both known Brian for a long time, dating back to his days at Iowa City High when he was playing for Dan Sabers. No one is a bigger critic of Brian Ferentz than Brian Ferentz, and I think that was pretty evident on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was refreshing, and that's not to criticize, you know, the head coach or other coaches that, you know, maybe are less self-introspective and self-critical. And when he came out and said the game plan, especially the run game plan at Michigan State, wasn't good, we all saw that. But he admitted it, and he talked about it and said, you know, I need to be better. You know, he brought up the execution word that the fans hate, but he put it on himself that he needs to be better at executing and coming up with a game plan. excuse me. So, I like Brian. As you said, we've known him since he was a teenager. But I think what we've seen this year, there's hope there. He's got some innovation. He's giving us some different things that we haven't seen in the past. There's some hope there. And he's got a good young quarterback. He's got developing skill players. I think the offensive line may finally be getting some, you know, their feet under them at this point. So that, to me, that's the most interesting thing. Can the offense catch up to maybe what the defense has done to this point?
And he called himself out for that play call against Penn State, too, that wound up for the safety. And, you know, I think that's an encouraging sign. He knows some of the things he's trying aren't working, and he's going to try to learn from that moving forward. But a little bit of a change of pace between Kirk Ferentz on Tuesdays during the season and then getting to hear from the coordinators on the bye week, and plenty to take away from that. And I know Rob wrote quite a bit about it at HawkeyeNation.com, so you can swing by his website and check that out as well. As we'll step aside here and take a quick break. When we come back, it's hard to believe, but it is almost 7 o'clock. High school football is right around the corner. We'll set the table for what you'll hear tonight as well as the course of this weekend on KGYM. Back with more after this.
It's tailgate time with triple option savings now at McGrath Volkswagen of Marion. Low payments or 0% 60-month financing or huge discounts off MSRP. Take your pick. You win. Brand new 2017 Jetta. Only $109 a month or 0% 60 months. Brand new 2017 Passat. Just $159 a month or 0% 5 full years financing. And brand new 2017 Tiguan. Take $7,500 off MSRP at McGrath Volkswagen of Marion. The savings options that save you more. Jetta S-Automatic, $109 a month. Passat S-Automatic, $159 a month. Or get 0% 60-month financing. And new Tiguan, $7,500 off MSRP. McGrath Volkswagen of Marion, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and 7th Avenue. Log on McGrathAuto.com for all the details.
36-month 10K mile lease with approved credit. $29.99 due at signing. Excludes tax, title, license, and dealer fee. APR 60 payments of $16.67 for $1,000 finance with approved credit.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call MediaCom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Back to the Todd Bravo Camp Show right here on KGYM.
Big thank you going back to Kyle Mann, our producer on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's kept us in line for 3 hours, which is not always the easiest thing to do, especially when you are in another county and about 20 minutes away. But he managed to do it tonight. He's got one last Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you as well. Midwest One, where you're the one. Kyle?
The University of Iowa's Gold Squad won Game 2 yesterday at the Black and Gold World Series at Duane Banks Field 7-6 to force a Game 3 being played today. Senior Tyler Cropley provided a sack fly in the 10th inning for a walk-off win after trailing 6-1 early in the game. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders will have their home opener tomorrow night against the Omaha Lancers. The Lancers are 0-1 in the young season, the Rough Riders 1-1, and you can catch that game yourself if you want at 7:05 tomorrow at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, it's Friday, and that means high school football. Scott Unash is out at Marion on the call as the Indians host West Delaware. That's going to be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym only. And our second game is a big one in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn will be on the call as Iowa City West hosts Linmar. A win for the Trojans tonight would lock up the District 8 title. And you can hear that one actually on both FM frequencies, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. When those games wrap up, keep it here on KGYM, and Jeff Downing will get you caught up on all the action from around the state on the High School Scoreboard Show. Iowa's got a bye week, so there's no Before the Boom tomorrow, but we will have the Cyclone pregame show on the main gym beginning at 9 o'clock. And for anyone wondering, we will carry both Cubs and Dodgers games this weekend, Saturday on all three frequencies and Sunday on 1600 AM. And we'll also have the Yankees and Astros tomorrow on the North and South gyms.
Yeah, busy weekend of things at KGYM. Undoubtedly, we've got the Iowa State-Kansas game on 1600 AM. As Kyle mentioned, the American League Championship Series as well as the NLCS. But also then on Sunday, if you are a Packers or Vikings fan, we will have Green Bay at Minnesota beginning at 11 a.m. on all three frequencies, 1600 AM as well as 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Also on Sunday, Pittsburgh at Kansas City. That'll be on the FM frequencies because we've got to make way for the Cubs and the Dodgers. That series will get underway tomorrow with Clayton Kershaw taking on presumably John Lackey, although Jose Quintana could be in the mix as well. We are going to see some American League Championship baseball as well, Yankees and Astros. So, Rob, final couple minutes tonight, I'll ask you the poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. What's your preferred World Series matchup? MLB and the TV executives, I think, are loving this because you've got four of the largest media markets in the country represented. They almost can't lose, but you know they would like to see the Yankees and the Dodgers. But what do you think? What do you think is going to be give us the best World Series?
I grew up, you know, and really was into baseball in the late 70s for the Yankee-Dodger series. Through the years, I've always hated the Yankees as a Mets fan. The Dodgers in 88, you know, kind of put an end to that, any chance of the Mets having a run. So I don't like them. So I picked the Astros and the Cubs. That would be the one that I would want to see.
I can get on board with that. The Cubs, I think, are just decimated right now after that. We had Bill Plunkett from the Orange County Register on in the 5 o'clock hour, and I said the only team that would have been had to have been happier about the win last night than the Cubs was the Dodgers, because no matter who came out of that game last night, you had to fly all the way across the country knowing that you're going to face Clayton Kershaw in Game 1. pretty big psychological hill to climb. Now, the question is, what type of Kershaw are we going to see in Game 1, and then how does everybody fall in behind? They've already have said that Alex Wood will start Game 4, but they're trying to figure out between Yu Darvish and Rich Hill what the lineup, what the rotation will look like in Games 2 and 3. So
I think if the Cubs can just get one of those first two and get their feet back under them and kind of get guys rested, I think that's it's obviously the goal. And but I give them a chance in this series because I think the Cubs, as we were talking about with John, with Jack, they're loose. They're playing loose right now.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that you always worry about. The Dodgers took care of the Diamondbacks so quickly and now have just been sitting around and taking batting practice and throwing bullpen sessions, and you can develop a little bit of rust, which in the postseason can come back to high. I still go back to the Cardinals and the Tigers in the World Series about 10 years ago, where one team wrapped things up pretty quickly and the other one had to go the full seven, and they rode that momentum straight into the World Series. The Tigers looked so good that year, and then they couldn't get it done for Jim Leland. But that's going to do it for another edition of the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. A big thank you to Steve Anderson and his sponsors there, and I'm sure he's going to be at Iowa City West tonight to watch the Trojans in Linmar. It's one of the two games we've got coming your way. That game is on both FM frequencies, and it'll get kicked off shortly with Alex Kuhn on the call. Scott Unash is in Marion tonight at Thomas Park. The Indians hosting West Delaware. You can hear it on 1600 AM, and then stick around afterwards for the scoreboard show finals from all across the state right here on KGYM. A big day of Hawkeye-free college football for you tomorrow. And we'll be back, Alex and I, on Monday for another edition of the show. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening.
If you finally decided to address